الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا حييتم بتحية فحيوا بأحسن منها أو ردوها، إن الله كان على كل شيء حسيبا. وقال تعالى، تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. One of the great shiar signs of Islam is our greeting, salam, to make salam. And salam, Allah Ta'ala has given us, which was not made in the in this dunya. It is, as our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained beautifully, it is from outside, from Jannah. And always people prefer foreign things. And this is a foreign thing, not of dunya, but of Jannah. When Allah Ta'ala had created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah told him to go and make salam to a group of malaika. And Allah told him, the reply they give you, that is the salam for you and for your ummah. So our salam has come from Jannah. So how, in a sense, proud should we be that we practice on it very, vociferously, openly, with pride, with happiness, with joy. Not pride in the sense that we're better than others, but pride in the sense of happiness that we have been given this great, great greeting. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ, when you are greeted, then فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا, reply the greeting with a better greeting. Therefore, ulama have written, if somebody says, Assalamu alaikum, try and reply, wa alaikum assalam is wajib. But to add, wa rahmatullah is better. If somebody says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then reply, wa barakatuhu also. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained the meaning of the salam, that assalamu is, in the Arabic language, it is the singular. Peace be upon you. Wa rahmatullah, and Allah's mercy be upon you. That is also in the singular. But wa barakatuhu, that is in the plural. Barakat. And that is a thing which everyone covets and desires, barakat in everything. Barakat in my wealth, barakat in my time, barakat in my family. Allah Ta'ala saw the mizaj of His banda and gave us our deen, our greeting also, according to our mizaj. And this year, and when Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Mi'raj, and he met Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and told him at the same time, convey my salams to your ummah also. So at this stage, ulama say, we should say, wa alayhi wa alaykum as-salam. We should reply to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's ummah. At the same time also, we should think what the position Allah has given us, that who has sent salams for us. If any great buzurg, any great person sent salams for us, we feel elated, we feel happy, so-and-so buzurg sent for me salams. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sent salams for us, being the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we should appreciate it very, very much that a great Nabi like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has sent salams for us. And what is the salam? Peace. A message of peace, a dua of peace. May you be in peace all the time. And that is what every person wants. He earns a lot so he can have peace of mind. He can have contentment of heart. He can live. Salam has got all that. All that peace is not in money. It is not in big properties or a big house. Peace is in the dua of salam. And if how much more we make the salam common, we are commanded, Afshaw salama bainakum. Let's spread the salam amongst you. So actually spread peace. If we enter our house and we make salam loudly and cheerfully, we are giving the dua of peace. And if they reply, then Allah looks with mercy at that house and the inhabitants of that house. So we have been given. And salam wa rahmatullah, and Allah's rahmat also upon you. When Allah's rahmat comes, you don't need anything else after that. Allah's rahmat is everything for a person. And on top of that again, wa barakatuhu, the barakat of Allah Ta'ala. Not only barakat, but Allah's barakat. One is you have barakat in something. One is Allah's barakat. And a barakat from Allah Ta'ala, we cannot imagine how it is. For example, goats, sheep, when they give birth, they give to normally two at a time. And the amount of sheep and goats that are slaughtered in the world, everyone is eating. Every day the abattoirs are full and all the sheep are slaughtered and then they are sold. On the other hand, a dog, a female dog, a bitch, she gives birth to about 8-10 puppies. And nobody eats puppies in the world, besides perhaps some people who eat. But otherwise, dogs are not eaten in the world. But so logically what it should be, there should be no sheep and goats in the world. And there should be the world should be infested with dogs. Everywhere, just dogs, 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 all the time. But Allah has put barakat in the halal, the eating of goats and sheep. So we find that so many are slaughtered, and they're only giving birth to two at a time. And then there are so many are slaughtered, and so many are consumed, are eaten, but yet there is no shortage. We hardly ever hear that there is a short of mutton, a short of sheep, goats, there is a shortage all the time. And dogs that give birth to so many at a time, the female dog, but there is so barakat. When Allah gives barakat, you can't imagine. And this is wa barakatuhu. And any person who wants, one sahabi, came to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam and complained of poverty, financial constraints, problems. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam advised him, when you enter your house, make salam loudly. And if the house people reply also loudly. And what you have to do is make salam loudly, read Durood Sharif on me, and read Qul Huwallahu Ahad. In a few days that sahabi came back and said that Allah has put me now in a position that I'm spending on other people, on my family members, on my neighbors, now I'm spending upon them. We hear this, but the sad part, we don't make amal on it. If we make amal, we will see it with our eyes. There was this doctor, non-Muslim at that time, Dr. Robert Brown, from Canada or U.S., wherever he was. And he was a very top doctor, very big scientist also. And he was born in a Christian home, grew up as a Christian, and the family regular church goers. But he says, I used to go to church, but I was not a Christian. And I was in fact an atheist. He says, I saw for myself in my life that if I wanted more money in my life, I worked harder. So I got more money. When I needed something I wanted to put in the house, some gadget, some whatever, something, then I got somebody to put it in, or I did it myself. It got done. Whatever I needed, I did it, and it got done. So I'm God, I'm doing everything. And now, at that point, we also must check ourselves. How many of us also, we feel, I do everything. I earn, I do this, I do that. And the measurement of it is easy to understand. How much dua am I making? How much am I making tafweez and handing my matters over to Allah? And how much am I keeping in charge? I'm in charge. I do everything. Whatever I want, I do. Whatever I say goes. So that you are God of your own. Arayta manittakhadha ilahahu hawa, who has made his own fancies that he's God, that I do everything. Anyway, he lived like that, but he was not happy. He was in search of the truth. Allah blessed him with a little daughter, and he loved his daughter very much, just as she was born. But as she was born in the hospital, her body had turned blue from the neck downwards, from the throat downwards, whole body. No oxygen going in the body. So the doctors started to explain him, This child won't live, forget hours, not even minutes. She's born with such complications that there's absolutely no hope. And being an atheist, he left them alone and he went in the prayer room of the hospital. And there he went into like sajda position. And as an atheist now, he made dua to Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, if you are there, if there is a God and you are God, and you have power over everything, whatever I wanted to do, I did. But this, I'm completely, I got no say in this whatsoever. It's not in my hands in the least, but if you are there, give cure to my child. Cure her. And my soul that is searching for you," he was always searching, "if you are there, connect my soul to you. Let me find you. Let me connect it." About 20 minutes he cried like this. And like a baby cries, he says, "I was crying, though I was a big grown-up man and a man with great position and all respected me with my knowledge and everything. But I cried like a baby." He says, "Just after that, I went back to the ward and I saw my child is on the other side of the ward. 100% correct. The doctor said we took scans and x-rays again, and this child needs no therapy, no procedures, no treatment, and this child will live an absolute normal life." If we can also know, dua has got that power. If we have that, and as an atheist, Allah accepted his dua. And shaitan's dua, Allah accepted it as a shaitan. And so an atheist also, then he started looking for Allah. Now he started studying the Bible, the Torah, the Injil, but he says, "I only found contradiction. I did not find answer." Then searching, he thought to study the Quran, the religion of Islam, and he found his answers in there. Everywhere, and really, if we also study the Quran Sharif, no doubt, whoever, at whatever level he is, he will find answers. And such great answers to whatever queries we have, they are all in the Quran Sharif. And one of the miracles of the Quran Sharif, if we make our connection with Quran Sharif, where you turn, what your daily reading is to be, in those pages, that part of the Quran, what questions you have in your mind and your heart. You find it difficult to express those questions, to ask anyone, you find your answers there. And one miracle of the Quran Sharif, even the person who doesn't understand Arabic, but we read it with feeling, with respect for the Quran, and we read the Quran, we will get our answers all the time. Allah will put it directly into our hearts, not through our mind by knowledge and that, but directly into our hearts. Quran is a very great kitab which Allah Ta'ala has given us. Anyway, after he found that, now he found his life was different. A life of enrichment and a life of fulfillment or a life of enjoyment. Whatever he did, when you have meaning in your life, to have life, enjoyment of life, is not material things. A big house, big car, all the assets and all the things of this dunya. Al-zina, zina nafs. When Allah fills the heart with contentment, that person finds enjoyment. Whether he's living in a tin shanty or whether he's living on the pavement under the trees, but that person's heart is filled with that. Nobody can imagine what enjoyment he is getting. Then he wrote many books and he started propagating Islam. He relocated to Medina Sharif. And he chose the name Abdullah. And he lived there and he wrote many books propagating Islam. And about 30,000 Jews accepted Islam from his propagation and his teaching. So this is when that is within us. That is what we have to work for, to bring that within us. So anyway, in our salam, Allah has put all this. So salam, peace from Allah Ta'ala. And if we are not experiencing it, check, am I making salam or not? In most cases, what we see, salam is we don't make salam to one another. So if the most we just nod our heads, or we just lift our hand or something, but to make salam and to say it clearly and very sad, to use the greetings of non-Muslims, that we don't shy away from. But to salam, we feel shy. And even good people, to make salam, we feel shy. And whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afshaw salam, spread the salam. And the word ifsha in the Arabic language is to spread a secret. And if you want a secret to spread, just tell somebody more than it can spread on any social platform or social media. Just tell the person, I'm telling you a secret, but don't tell anyone. And before you tell him, it's gone in the whole world. More than viral also, it is gone. Everywhere. Like that, we were commanded to spread the salam like that. But unfortunately, we conceal the salam like that. We have got our deen is so perfect, so beautiful, so comprehensive. The whole of deen, what to say, just one part of deen, salam, has got so much in it. But unfortunately, we are the ones who are concealing it. Each one asks ourselves, when we enter our homes, do we make salam? When we leave our homes, do we make salam? Everywhere it comes in the Hadith Sharif that if two people are walking together and a tree comes and one goes on this side of the tree and the other one the other side, when they meet again, they should make salam again. And which means in our time, if we have come with the car to the masjid or from here we are walking to the car and we are walking together, one will get in the passenger seat, one in the driver's seat. When we inside, we should make salam again. But we hardly hear salam. Try and recall for today. Most of us, we are just living with Muslims. Some of us may be working with non-Muslims or in shops, our customers are non-Muslims. But most of us, we are dealing with Muslims only. How much did we hear salam? How much did I make salam today? Can I count the number of times I made salam? Salam is like out of our lives. Whereas salam is supposed to be there and very prominent. So salam is a message of peace. Then Allah's rahmat. If you get Allah's rahmat, what more do you need? And on top of that, barakat from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It comes in the hadith sharif that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that when somebody gives you a gift, then return the gift. Or if you can, give something better. And the least is to say, Jazakumullah khairan. So whenever we get a gift, we should say it like that. And we should also accept the gift with the attitude that I'm not in need of it, but you are giving it. I appreciate your gift, your gesture of giving a gift. That is a great thing, and I appreciate it. And you make the least is you make dua for that person. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the one that made the most amal on the whole of deen. Nobody can make amal as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did. So today, still till now at this moment, if we give the gift of salam to Nabi sallallahu, if we say sallallahu alayhi, Allahumma salli, salat, salawat is rahmat e khasa, the very special gift of Allah Ta'ala. So we are giving that gift to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just that also if we read. So we are giving the gift of rahmat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam gives us back and he makes dua of Allah's special rahmat for us. We know who we are, how dirty our tongues are, how dirty our hearts and our minds are. We gave salat to Nabi sallallahu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whose heart is how pure, filled with what noor and what barakat, he gives us the dua of rahmat. And we getting the dua of rahmat from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When we offer salawat of the special mercy and salamati, wasallim. And we giving the dua of salamati for Nabi sallallahu and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know 100% is not in need of our duas, is not in need of our gifts, but everything is appreciated very greatly. People of respect and honor and people who have akhlaq and greatness, they appreciate every small thing. When there were droughts in Baghdad, in Iraq, Baghdad, in the time of Harun al-Rashid, a villager living at a distance of a 6 months journey, he came to know that there are droughts in Baghdad and our king is without water. from his village, he filled water in earthen pots, matka. And he went 6 months journey. What will be the condition of the water? What dirt and water come in the king? When he came in the court and the gathering of the king noticed there's somebody outside. They asked him, he said, I've heard that there are droughts here and our king hasn't got water. And I brought water from there. So the gesture, what feeling, that is more valuable than the actual gift. The gift is just a token. But with what feeling you give a gift, that is the important thing. So the king ordered he must be put up in the state Mehman Khana guest house, and he must be treated accordingly. He stayed as long as he wanted to stay. When he was leaving, the king gave him what gifts, lot of gifts, and told the minister who was taking him through, seeing him off, let him pass by the rivers of the Dajla, the Euphrates and the Tigris, and he will see how much water the king has got, and what I brought for the king. I brought this 2 matkas of water, and he has got this 2 rivers of water. If the rains are not falling, but he's got this 2 rivers of water, and that water fresh and sparkling, and what wonderful water, and what water I brought for him. So that is how people who have big hearts like that is how they appreciate. So we send our salams to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is our salam? And we're getting in return salam from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We're sending rahmat to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is our rahmat? We hardly know the meaning properly of rahmat. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu, we are sending Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma sallim ala Muhammad. And in turn, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam is giving us these duas. And also, that when a person commits gunas, this ayat is actually directly revealed for the munafiqeen. For them, Allah Ta'ala says. So how much more for the mu'mineen? وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ When they have done wrong to themselves. And referring to a specific wrong which the munafiqeen had done. But anyway, anyone who does wrong. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ They come to you, O Nabi, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ They ask forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ And Rasul asks forgiveness for them. لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا They will find Allah Ta'ala happily accepting all their tawbah and accepting their return to Allah Ta'ala. And after that, showering them with His mercies. So when we can't go every day for ziyarat. Even if we are in Medina Sharif, we can't be 24 hours making ziyarat there also. But at any time, we can send durood and it reaches Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we won't be standing at the Jali Mubarak. Our salam will go right to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wherever we are, and we'll get the reply and we'll get the du'as. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam's du'as for Allah Ta'ala. What an opportunity. So salam is a great thing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. Allah's rahmat, Allah's barakat. And salam, when we make salam, we are giving the message of salamati also. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has sent salams to us. And Allah's rahmat and Allah's barakat. One alim of Bangladesh who came here many years ago, and sitting here on the mimbar, he explained 3 beautiful meanings of salam. The first was the general meeting, peace be upon you. And that is what everyone wants. Everyone wants peace. I just want peace in my life. How many people, what fights and arguments they are going through. Husband, wife, friends, families, people in the community. At the end they say, I just want peace in my life. Peace Allah is not only given, guaranteed. But we're not choosing the correct means. It's there for us. What we have to do, we're not doing. Whatever problems you can have, I haven't got peace in my mind. I haven't got peace in my life. Whatever it can be, really, even if it can be illnesses, big, big illnesses. When Allah sends peace, what else you need? Everything. So, this peace Allah Ta'ala has given us. So, he explained the first meaning is the normal meaning of peace. May peace be upon you. That is the normal meaning. The second is, It's the name of Allah Ta'ala. As-salamu al-mu'minu al-muhaiminu al-azizu al-jabbar. So it means, as-salamu ma'akum. May Allah be with you. When you are saying salam, may Allah be with you. Like for example, to understand that, a father, the head of the family, is with his family the whole night. They all got itminan. The wife also, my husband is here. If anything happens, he'll look after, he'll see to the matter. The children also know our father is here. But in the morning now, he has to go to work. He has to leave the home. If he makes salam, the one is, I'm making dua of peace for you people. I won't be here, but peace. The other is, I'm going, but I leave Allah with you. What type of, how much of reassurance, how much of confidence, happiness, security a person feels. Allah be with you. I won't be here, but I'm leaving Allah with you. And they reply to him, and they also give salam. That the whole night you were in the house, no hijackings, no kidnappings, no accidents, nothing here in the house, but now you're going on the road. And you can meet up with an accident. May Allah be with you. May Allah be protect you. What a greeting we have been given. Everything, you can say the whole of deen is in here. But we know the whole of deen is not. Salam is one thing, but it is so great that it appears everything is in it. And if we bring the whole of deen, our lives of Jannat are here already. And Jannat for the people of the world. But unfortunately, we have made our own life hellfire. And we have made the lives of the people also Jahannam. Because we did not bring this message of peace into our lives. So, and wa rahmatullah. Just one meaning, peace. The second meaning, that Allah be with you. And with whom Allah is, that person has got no problem. Whether it can be health issues, whether it can be financial issues, whether it can be arguments and fights. If Allah is with you, Allah will sort out everything. And the third meaning he gives is that when a person makes salam, he's giving guarantee to the next person. That from my side, I'm giving you salamati, I'm giving you guarantee. I won't interfere. I won't have any bad thoughts with regard to your wife, your sister, your mother, your daughter, your finances, your respect and honor. I won't backbite about you. I won't try and bring you down in the eyes of people. Everything of yours I will respect and I will honor it. And he gives the same reply to him also. But here we can see, and just see how beautiful Allah made it. Allah put the salam, which is so great. Allah put it at the end of every namaz. After you went through your whole namaz, you made mi'raj, you reached Allah Ta'ala. And you, every barakat you got in namaz. Namaz is such a great ibadat Allah has given us. You are in the highest position standing. You drop yourself to the lowest position in front of Allah. And Allah made you the highest. When you actually made, man tawadha alillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Who humbles himself. If we do make sajda, not a physical sajda, but a spiritual sajda, we humble ourselves that I'm nothing, Allah. I'm putting my head in front of you. I'm absolutely nothing. You are everything. Allah raises that person. And Allah makes that person so high. So after you have reached all that great height, and then you tell us, you give that message of peace to that person. How much haven't you given? So in our namaz, when we make salam, but ask ourselves, we all made our maghrib 3 for us, 2 sunnahs. Many of us must have made nafal also. So in that, in our salam, did we give the message even to the kiram and katibi? Did we even think of them? Or are we making an empty salam? You are making salam to somebody, but you are making salam to nobody. Not even a ghost. Not even a spook. You're just making salam to nobody. That is our condition. And the sad part, we're still thinking I'm pious. And I'm a alim, and I'm a big alim. And I'm a Sufi also. And I'm here to make islah of other people. And our own condition is, we're making salam, a complete empty salam. That has got no meaning in it. We don't associate anything to it. Just the words we are saying. We are not making salam to anyone, not to the kiram and katibin, not all who are on our right and our left, and not to the imam also. You think now, Maghrib, we made all namaz. Who made salam to the imam? Who made salam to the musallis? We just an empty salam. And for how long we are here for our islah? And even if so much islah is still not made, what islah is made? Where are we? So Allah Ta'ala has given us what a beautiful religion. Everything in this deen and in this religion of Allah Ta'ala. Salam is a great shi'ar of Islam. And Allah says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. If you want to know how much taqwa I've got, see, when I eat, do I say my bismillah? During my eating, do I say one time? Or do I think in my heart, Allah, all praise is due to you. This food that I'm eating. Or are we thinking of making gunas after eating? I've got some appointment with somebody. I've got something else, some haram thing. After eating, do we think one first, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana. How many of us, we don't read the dua. Do I think of thanking my wife, she cooked for me, and telling her jazakallah. Women go out of their way to prepare. And they don't just start cooking when they're in the kitchen. While they stay lying in bed, today I'll cook this, I'll make this, I must get this. All that, and from our side, ask ourselves, till today I'm married for 20, 30 years, did I tell my wife one time jazakallah? And yet I feel I'm very pious. And people must respect me and honor me. But this is our, so salam is a very, very great thing, which Allah Ta'ala has given us in our deen. And unfortunately, such a great thing, and it's a system of Allah, that there is never a vacuum anywhere. Nothing is left empty. When we are not making salam, when we are not doing the best, Allah says, take the worst now. And what have we replaced it with? Commonly, hello. Even on the phone all the time, hello, hello. That is very common here. Hi, bye. Oh, hi and bye. What meaning has it got? Compare it to assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And hello, the analysis of hello is hello. That you're telling the person you go to hell. So when salam was taking you to Jannah, taking you into peace, the mercy of Allah, Allah, when we didn't do it, Allah replaced it for us, that you go to hell and the lowest place of hell. And that person also, in reply, will also give you the same. And when we can't hear properly on the phone, then we repeat it so many times. And every repeat is more loud. Hello, hello, hello. More we're giving, sending the person. You're not hearing, you must go to hell. Go. Go to the lowest part of hell. And there's some different problem in the line. He's also shouting from that side. And he's also shouting so loud from that side. So this is our condition. And thus we're not talking of the people who are not coming to masjid, who are not deeni conscious. We are talking of us who we think we are deeni conscious. And we think we have got deen in us. And we expect people to respect us, that we have got deen. But this is our condition on one small part of deen. And if we do make salam, we mumble it. We are shy to say it also loudly and clearly. We just mumble it. Whereas it should be said loudly and clearly. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that one Sudani man told him that how commonly we make salam with Salaamu Alaikum. He says that is also, must pronounce the Hamza, the Alif at the beginning, very clearly, As-Salaamu Alaikum. Say, pronounce it properly also. So we should say it properly, As-Salaamu Alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And then ulama, Allah reward them, have written kitabs on salam. When we should say, how we should say, like if a person comes now, some people who don't know, they come to a gathering and they make salam and then they're going to make everyone individually salam. Whereas that is not necessary. You have made one salam that is sufficient for all. And salam is the first level of salam is verbal salam. You say, As-salamu alaykum. And that is the daily common who we meet regularly. A person who you meet after some time, then you shake hands with that person. And the shaking of hands also, we were sitting here at this place here, and I asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Kangohi that how should salam be made with the hand. He said, give me your hand. He took my hand and he put his palm on my palm. He said like this. So that is how salam should be made. The two palms should be. Now we usually, some just put the fingers there. And you make salam with the fingers. No, the two palms should meet. And safhatun, that is the palm. And from there, muhabbat goes to one another. Therefore, it is haram to make salam to a ghair mahram. Even verbal we should avoid. We shouldn't make. And of course, touching of hands is totally, totally haram. But unfortunately, today that is also promoted as part of deen. And not only salam, hugging one another. And ulama, hugging the other woman. And it's on video, it's on TV. And showing the world. Allah make maaf and Allah guide us. So, salam, the two hands meet. And there's nothing like, some people make salam, and then with the thumbs, they press the thumb. That is explained that it was famous that Khidr, alayhi salam, he hasn't got a thumb. So people, when he should make salam, they should feel whether this person has got the thumb or not in the bone. If he hasn't got, we'll ask him for du'as. Khidr, alayhi salam's du'as are readily accepted. So there is nothing like that also. Just straightforward, you put the two palms properly into one another. That is how salam should be made. And if you're meeting somebody after a long time, or somebody going like for Hajj, or for like for 4 months or something, then there is mu'anaka. And mu'anaka also comes from the word onot. Then the necks must meet. And when the necks meet, it's not a... what? Musadara. That the chest must meet. And not even mubatana. That the stomachs meet. Both stomachs are so big that only the stomachs can meet. It is mu'anaka, the neck. And there is one nerve that runs there, which also increases love between the two. When we make mu'anaka. So mu'anaka we should make. Allah reward the Pathan people. They make it very correctly. The bodies are away from one another. And today we make mu'anaka even if you're making with another man, with your brother. But the bodies mustn't meet. The neck must meet. The bodies must be away from one another. And today, very, very sadly, in our homes, today mu'anaka, salam is made, salam with the hand, with all family members, with the daughters-in-law, mother-in-law, sisters-in-law. And that is totally haram. Where there is parda hukam with so many of the family members, but we are making salam. We find our elders, Hazratji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, the daughter-in-law lived in the house, in the same house they lived. So they cross one another, meet one another, but he said that Hazratji and about our Shaykh also, that if he had to see his daughter-in-law in a group of other women, he will not make out this is mine. He never looked at her fully. Though they lived in the same house, but they never, today we, with daughter, eat time, and making salam, and there is no qaid, no limit of age also. Shaitan runs through the body, how blood runs through the vein. It can be an old man also, an old lady also, and there are enough instances that happen all the time. So Islam has taught us where to make love and how to make love. That we don't do, and we do the opposite, the haram. We show love, we show haram love. Show the halal love. So much so our buzurgs with their own daughters also. Forget daughters-in-law, own daughter also. They don't touch, they let their hands touch. All this, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained it very beautifully. If the electricity department is working on the lights, then they send an advice that so and so time we will be working. But treat all wires as life. Anytime life can come. So you can be with your own daughter, 100% clear relationship. You don't know which moment Shaitan can put some desire in your heart, in her heart. And that will render your life azab of Jahannam. Your wife will become immediately haram to you. If any feeling like that happens between father, mother and son, daughter, anything like that, hurmat-e musahara is worse than talaq-e mughallaza also. That is terrible. So Allah save us, let us appreciate this great deen and practice upon our deen as we are supposed to be. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.